We have our scripture reading that you will see in your bulletins, and it is from the Gospel of Matthew. And in Matthew, we see that it's written that as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, saying, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And when he entered the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." And then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall come into being according to your faith." May God bless our understanding and our embodiment of this word of abundant life. Amen. We live in the information age, and we live in the misinformation age, and we are bombarded with each. And so, more than at any other time in history, we need to be extraordinarily careful what we are attending to and who and what we believe as our sources, because we give that source tremendous power over our lives. And what we believe changes our lives and even changes our health. And because of all this, Jesus put a tremendous amount of effort into having us take belief seriously and having us take the truth seriously. As a matter of fact, it was so important, it was so vital to not only what he was saying and not only his life and ministry, but his identity, that he describes himself as being truth. He said, "I am the truth." And so truth itself is sacred because of its power. And therefore, because he is truth, he said, "You can believe me. You can believe in me." That word "believe" that we heard this morning, it occurs over 200 times in the New Testament alone. The New Testament was written in Greek. It was translated then into other languages, including English. And in the original Greek, that word that we have as belief is pistuo'o, which really means to entrust one's being, one's whole being. So when he says, "I am the truth," and when he even calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth, he's saying you can trust the source. You can trust it with your life, because God doesn't play games with the truth. And here in this section that we're focusing on today, he says, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you trust me?" And they say, "Yes." And with that, he touched their eyes. And then he said something very, very curious. That's really the key that unlocks this whole thing, and a key that unlocks a tremendous amount of things for our lives as well, where we note that he did not say, "Because of my power, this will happen to you." But he says, "It shall come into being, it will happen because of your faith." What we believe, based on what we understand to be true, says who and in what we entrust our lives has direct and very powerful consequential impact. Little story. Some of you may have heard the name Jon Kabat-Zinn before. Very smart guy, got his PhD from MIT, and he taught doctors at the UMass School of Medicine for 25 years. He worked at the UMass Medical Center also for 25 years, and he's the one who actually coined the term, traced back to him, mindfulness, that we use now for all sorts of things. And in any event, in thinking about the power of faith and belief, he shares an account that happened at the UMass Medical Center. And there was a patient there who, after the doctor examined him, the doctor went out of the room, he went into the hallway, and there in the hallway he was surrounded by the interns. It was a teaching hospital, still is a teaching hospital. And they're all standing by the door, they're within earshot of the patient, and the doctor is giving his briefing to the interns, and very authoritatively, of course, he says to the interns, he says, well, this patient obviously has such and such disease, and then he leaves. And the interns leave with him. And immediately after, the doctor and the interns all leave, the patient starts panicking. And he says, whoa, this is bad, this is terrible, I'm gonna die. He goes, I know I'm gonna die. And after that, the nurses come in, they try to comfort him, they try to tell him that what he has, the disease he's diagnosed with, it's not life-threatening. It's actually completely curable. But they can't get him to believe this because he believes with all of his heart and mind and soul, he's going to die. So they try to track down the doctor. This is before cell phones. And the patient actually starts to, his blood pressure shoots up, he actually starts to foam at the mouth somehow, and the nurses can't get him to calm down. With a few hours, the man dies. Zero cause for his death, other than his faith. Negative faith, but faith nonetheless, his adamant belief that what he had was fatal. And it reminds me of a great book that is actually well worth a read, and it's titled Mind as Healer, Mind as Slayer. And it's written by Kenneth Pelletier, MD. And it explores the power that we hold with our belief, with healing, and with our well-being and otherwise. Mind as healer, mind as slayer. And there's so many examples of this in the medical field, the power of belief and the power of negative belief. So Parkinson's disease, which we are familiar with, we know that Parkinson's is marked with the aberrant firing of neurons in the brain region called the subthalamic nucleus, and there's no obvious way for the mind to affect the subthalamic nucleus, but in a recent study, scientists reported that when they injected an inert salt solution, it was just salt water, into Parkinson's patients who thought it was a real drug, it didn't just relieve the rigidity that occurs for some Parkinson's patients, but for some, it actually altered the firing patterns of the haywire neurons. How did it do that? They have no idea. No idea. It was just what was in their mind in belief. It came into being according to their faith. And the medical world can't explain this. And yet it documents this happening all the time. All the time. Another study showed in an analysis of 2,318 clinical trials of antidepressants, half of the therapeutic effect came from the belief that the pill would relieve depression. And I want to be crystal clear, absolutely clear, I'm not advocating at all not taking medication because it does work and people need it. And when you need it, you take it. God gives us science to use, to employ. It's a tool, it's a resource. But science and medicine also attributes a great deal of power to a person's belief, both positively and negatively, in its impact. Mind as healer, mind as slayer. And because of this power, among other things, and I know this power, I say to myself time and time again, and my kids know because I say it to my kids, and I share it with people in the congregation. When I catch myself in some negative language and negative tape loops that happens with every single one of us, we all say these things to ourselves. You know, you can't do that, you know, oh, so stupid. Why do I do these things? Oh, I'll never get it right. When I catch myself saying these negative things, I actually say these words in my own mind: be careful what you say to yourself, because you will believe it. And believing it has the power, it will happen. So I want to choose, and I want to be very sure what I'm saying to myself. It shall come into being according to your faith. It will come into being. And I talk about this a lot. You know that I talk about this a lot, and I do so for a few reasons. First of all, because Jesus put a tremendous amount of attention to it, and he talked about it a lot. Because it changes life one way or another, like flipping a switch. Second reason I talk about it is it's not because I'm an impeccable master of this. Far from it. But I have to keep coming back myself again and again and again and trying and working on. I need to keep going back to this practice of faith every single day. And I've been doing this intentionally and intensely for like 45 years. Three, I focus on these things because I know with all of the shifting sands that we're getting these days, information, of misinformation, of our lives going this way, our lives going that way, we feel hopeful, we get let down. We're dealing with sorting out all sorts of stuff. We need this. We need this. And fourth, because we are all too familiar with the power of our belief in negative consequences, we live with that too daily. We live with things like stress. That's the power of belief telling us certain things. Worry, negative attitude. It makes us physically weak, it slows healing, and the list goes on. So, how about positive power? How about positive faith? What can that do? Jesus is always turning us to positive faith, like what's going on now. What's the effect, for example, when we believe we can make a positive difference with all the stuff that's going on now, as it has to do with so many people who are so deeply suffering? Now, we can just talk about it. We can get together with our friends. We can Zoom in. We can have telephone calls. Isn't that terrible? Oh, I feel like there's nothing I can do. Oh, me too. Oh, did you hear about that? What can you do, right? Or, I can do something. And not only that, I am going to find a way to do it. What's the effect, whether we believe we are lovable or not? What's the effect when we believe that some people are less deserving of justice? What's the effect when we offer words of encouragement actual help, when we lift people up, and not just with words, not just with feelings of compassion, isn't that too bad? But how about with real help? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe that can happen? What is that power? When we believe with our lives that that can happen. Tell you what was just sent out a couple days ago. This is a copy of our church newsletter. If you haven't read it yet, read this very carefully. And it's loaded with pictures, it's loaded with all sorts of news. It shows exactly what this power can do. Spiritual power in action. The power of belief carried through to lift up, to heal, to help, to feed, to clothe, to educate, to provide tangible resources. This is your belief. Your belief. Everyone who contributed, everyone who took part in this, this is your belief in action. And let me just read what your power, what your faith made come to pass just in the last 4 to 6 weeks by saying that, you know, it starts with, I know that things are rough for a lot of people. I know that there's a lot of stuff weighing everybody down. There's people who are struggling. Instead of just feeling bad, though, instead of just feeling sorry, instead of just feeling overwhelmed, you reached out, put some flesh on our belief. And so we did. The power of our faith. What did we do? Saw and we felt a lot of new needs, and this is what we did together. Quick list, last 4 to 6 weeks. Operation Hope, we provided 60 box lunches, 50 hot meals in April, $3,000 donated for their greater needs. Horizons at GFA, Greens Farms Academy, Horizons at Sacred Heart University, educating young people in great need and supporting their families. We took up a yellow envelope donation from you for food, for household goods, for their families in need, $3,000 worth that you gave. And we gave another $3,000 to both of these organizations to help with their greatest needs. Homes for the Brave, an organization here that cares for homeless veterans. Now, a few of our members have been on their hands and their knees building a vegetable garden for them and contributing the different components of that. And we gave $500 for garden plants and supplies. Plus, we delivered 45 meals in partnership with the Little Pub. Thank you. And we are going to be giving 9 more sets of these meals of 45 for 450 meals total, plus $3,000 for their general needs, plus $500 for a special need that they were going through. Emerge, that helps women and children who've been abused rebuild their lives. We asked, what do you need? And they said, we need bus passes, or people need bus passes to be able to get around, to be able to get to work. We gave all that they needed. There's actually one family who said, bus passes, we've got this, all the bus passes. And then on top of that, Easter food baskets so families could eat wonderfully, have an Easter, have meals, have nourishment for their bodies, for their souls. Kids who needed activities during quarantine, we provided in abundance, plus $3,000 to support their ongoing needs. Mercy Learning Center in Bridgeport that helps to prepare and equip women teaching English as a second language and life skills. We gave $1,000 worth of food gift cards, which they needed, loads of diapers, plus $3,000 for their general support. Pivot Ministries in Bridgeport helps homeless and addicted men turn their lives around. Our Carousel Thrift Shop helped outfit these men with blazers, khaki pants, belts, shoes, ties, for interviews so they can lift up, plus toiletry kits for everyone, plus $1,500 of general support. Adam J. Lewis Academy in Bridgeport, which provides excellence in education for children in great need. We provided 20 just loaded food baskets and extra food on top of that, a second round, loads of games for children, things for them to do constructively during quarantine, plus $3,000 for their general needs. Alpha Community Services and Homeless Shelter in Bridgeport, 20 food baskets. St. George's Community Suppers in Bridgeport, 300 plus meals prepared and delivered with love, with kindness, with care, and more to come. And Center for Family Justice in Bridgeport, $3,000 to help support their needs, their care, their lifting up. Connecticut Institute for Refugees and Immigrants, household items. We said, what did you need? Household items for young immigrant families from the carousel shop, plus $1,500 for their general support. This is the power of your belief. I hear people say all the time, you know, yeah, I get it, you know. Love your neighbor. I know what Jesus says. I commune in the woods and outside. It's a lot more than that. This is belief. This is power. This is what we did, what you did during quarantine. According to your faith, it came into being. And their eyes were opened. Their hearts were opened. Their bodies were fed. That is how we immunize against all of these negative forces. That's how we immunize against being dragged down. We lift up. We have the power to flip the switch. Amen.
O Lord, you who sent your Spirit down upon us, be with us in this time as we navigate our very many paths according to your will. Be with us in the moments that are bursting with joy and in those quieter moments when we come to you with pain or challenge. Remind us that we are held in the embrace of the holy always. You who breathe life and gifted fire, you who know our innermost hearts with all their hopes and quirks, you who love every single person, regardless of circumstance, because we are all your children. Strengthen us, Lord. Help us to be humble enough to receive your Spirit, to pause and to listen. As we seek your holy harmony, allow us to hear with compassion the voices of all of your children. Make us builders of unity, Lord. Help us to address the points of fracture among us, the spaces where your Spirit can move to bless the space between us. Continue to teach us to always make the circle of love wider. Remind us, Lord, in our own wandering, that the Holy Spirit descended on people who were also a little lost, a little uncertain, men who were weary and passionate and unsure, men who missed the one they loved and followed. The Holy Spirit came down on those men. Help us to remember that, Lord. Help us to lift up our eyes to the hills from where our help comes, from you. Heavenly Father, help us to know when to respond to the Spirit descending upon us now, in this moment. This Spirit poured out upon us. Give us the courage to allow that very Spirit to move within us. And as we serve as Christ's hands and feet in this uncertain world, help us to be true communion with the family of God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of God. Come with your peace, your power, your light. Come with forgiveness, courage, and hope. All this we pray in the name of the one who is perfect love. Amen.